Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember that the days of darkness, for there will be many, everything to come is meaningless. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigour are meaningless.
So, following from chapter 12, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach you, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and dangers in the dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the street. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, everything is meaningless.
Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 19 to 28.
If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all most people to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all.
Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you care for us at every age, whether we are old or young. And yet, Father, we need to face up to the fact that we will all die. Father, how can we live with that fact? What good news do you have for us? Father, please give us that good news now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my family and I were visiting a cemetery while we were on holiday a few years ago. Now, that might seem like an odd place to go while you're on holidays, a bit morbid perhaps, particularly with kids, but it was actually very peaceful. It was located on a headland overlooking the sea, and it was a beautiful sunny day. And as we looked at the headstones, we could actually tell from them quite a lot about who was buried there. We could tell who came from the oldest families in the district because of the dates on the tombstones. And we could also work out who obviously still had family there from those headstones which had fresh flowers on them and those ones which didn't. But the inscriptions themselves also told stories. Some people had lived long and happy lives if their headstones were anything to go by. But others had lived much briefer lives, much briefer than mine, and some had barely lived at all. They were just children when they died. And as I looked at these headstones, they made me think about a quote from, of all people, an American footballer who was also a Christian, a guy called Tim Tebow, who once said this: "When you die, there's going to be a tombstone. It's going to have your name. It's going to have the year that you're born and the day that you die. In between, there's going to be a dash. And that dash is going to represent everything you did in your life, good and bad. That's how you'll be remembered. What do you want your dash to represent?" And as I looked at all of those dashes on all of those tombstones and all of those lives they represented, I thought, what's going to go in my dash? What will my life be all about? That's what this book, Ecclesiastes, is all about. Is there any meaning in life? And if so, can we find it? The teacher, the main contributor to this book, has tried to find meaning in life in lots of things: throwing himself into work, or making the most of his time, or earning lots of money, getting wise, seeking justice. But he's found at the end of his life that none of that has worked. Life is still a vapor to him, a mist. No matter how hard he's tried, he's not been able to find meaning in life, make progress, achieve gain. It's all eluded him. Now, why? Well, because at every turn, death has frustrated his plans. No matter how hard he's worked, or how much money he's earned, or how smart he's become, he's realized that death will wipe out all the progress he's made and turn it back to zero. Death has stripped everything of its meaning. And so now, at the end of his life and at the end of this book, he faces the problem head on. How do we live in the face of death? What should we do in the face of death? What does death do to my dash? Well, his advice is remarkably refreshing. How should we live in the face of death, according to Ecclesiastes? Well, we should do two things. We should act our age, and we remember the Lord. First of all, the teacher says that we should act our age in the best possible way. He starts by stating the basic principle: make the most of your time, however much of it you have. Look there in Ecclesiastes 11, verses 7 to 8. "Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may have, let them enjoy them all." And then what he does is he takes that principle, enjoy your life, however much of it you have, and he applies it to different people at different stages of life, young and old. First of all, he applies it to the young. What's his advice to the young? Well, it's there in verses 9 and 10. "You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart, and whatever your eyes see. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are," well, it should really say fleeting. What's his basic advice? Act your age. If you're young, be young. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy being young and make the most of it while you can, because youth and vigor are vapor, not meaningless, fleeting. Now, we can't misunderstand him here. The teacher isn't advocating hedonism. He's already warned us about the dangers of excess. But he is saying that if you're young, you should enjoy life. He's already listed loads of things in this book that you could follow your eyes and heart into, which would be good. Drinking wine in moderation, enjoying food, seeking sun, having a rest, doing work, spending money, getting into nature and art and music, hugging, laughing, loving, seeking peace. According to the teacher, these are all good things that God has made for us to enjoy. And according to the teacher, these things are best enjoyed when we're young, because that's when we've got the most energy and vigour to enjoy them. The Westminster Shorter Catechism was a primer written in 1646 to teach young people the basics of the Christian faith. And it's a series of questions and answers, and its first question gets right to the point. What is the chief end of man? What is the chief end of humankind? Now, the Westminster Shorter Catechism was written by a bunch of old men called the Westminster Divines. There they are. So you expect their answer to be something dusty and dry, like, what's the chief end of man? Well, obey God and do everything he says, or go to bed. But what does it actually say? What does it actually say is the chief end of man? It's to glorify God and enjoy him forever. It's to glorify God and enjoy him forever. You see, God isn't a killjoy. He wants you to worship him, but he also wants you to enjoy him and to worship him by enjoying him and the good things he's made. That's the lesson that the teacher wants to teach young people as he looks back on life. What does he tell you to do? He tells you to enjoy life. So guys, if you're young here, enjoy your youth. Do things that young people are meant to do. Go to parties and take road trips and try scuba diving and listen to music that your parents don't. Because that's what you're meant to do. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 9 again. You who are young, be happy while you're young and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. And don't let grumpy older people look down on you while you're doing it. Now, I'm only 44 and I'm already getting grumpy. That is one of the sins of getting older, according to the Bible. Getting grumpy with and looking down on younger people. You know, thinking that they're always irresponsible and flaky and untrustworthy, even though it's your taxes that will pay for our nursing homes. Let me read you a quote that I think really well sums up this view. We live in a decaying age. Young people no longer respect their parents. They are rude and impatient. They frequently inhabit taverns and have no self-control. That's the quote. Now, do you know when it was written? That was found on the inside of a 6,000-year-old Egyptian tomb. In other words, older people have always thought that younger people are worse than them, and they've always been wrong. Do you know who the oldest person in the world is? It's God. He has been around like for forever. And do you know what he says to you if you're young? Be young. Have fun. Enjoy the opportunities of youth because they won't last forever. That's the teacher's advice to you if you are young. Enjoy your life because God has given it to you to enjoy. Which then brings us to the other end of the spectrum, old age, and what God says you should do. And his advice again is, act your age. You see, just as the teacher is optimistic about what it's like to be young, he's also realistic about what it's like to be old. And he says that, frankly, it can be hard. Listen to 12 verses 1 to 15. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire is no longer stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. See, he pictures life like being in a house. And in the morning, when you're young, it's bright and sunny. 11 verse 7 again, light is sweet and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. But when evening approaches as you get old, the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. There's a storm coming. The keepers of the house tremble as the thunder starts to roll in. The grinders run inside from their work to get out of the rain. The servants peer out of the darkening windows at the weather. And it's dangerous to walk outside in the streets because of the wind, so much so that even the jumping grasshopper now needs to crawl along the ground to stop from blowing away. According to the teacher, old age is like a cold, wet, windy evening. And it's coming for all of us. Let's not romanticize it. Old age is hard. John Chapman, who's now dead, was a pastor in Sydney, and he wrote a wonderful book called Making the Most of the Rest of Your Life. Let me read to you a little excerpt. He says this, "I've already had my 76th birthday, and I live in a retirement village on the outskirts of Sydney. Each year, I seem to collect another specialist. They put the ailing parts back together again. Last year, I went to a reunion of Moore Theological College alumni for the enrolling years of 1956 to 1957. I was shaken by how old we'd all grown. I made the fatal mistake of asking people how they were. I was treated to organ recital after organ recital. What surprised me was that everyone offered me a cure, even though it was very clear that none of the remedies were working. At one point, Chapman sums it up like this. He says, growing old is the pits. And speaking to older people, it is, isn't it? Sometimes. That's not fun. The joints ache and the hearing fails. You know that. The teacher knows that. What are you to do if you're an older person, according to the teacher? Well, he's not saying that you've got to be morbid or to get old before your time comes. It is still really good to be active in old age. Let me introduce you to Mr. Fauja Singh. There he is up there. If you don't know who this chap is, Mr. Singh is the oldest marathon runner in the world. He's currently aged 111. And he ran his last marathon, get this, only 6 years ago, when he ran the Mumbai Marathon at the tender age of 104. He is known as the Turbaned Tornado. And get this, he only took up running at the age of 81. That's my excuse too. In other words, getting old doesn't mean you have to be morbid. But at the other end of the extreme, there is such a thing as putting your head in the sand about old age, isn't there? There is the kind of person who actually refuses to act their age, that is, refuses to admit that time is passing by and one day they're going to die. So, for example, in a recent UK survey of 1,000 people, all of whom were over the age of 50, they asked all of these 50-pluses to define when they thought middle age started. When it started. And you know what the average answer was? 57. Now, no offence, but that is delusional. I mean, do they really think the average lifespan of a human being is 114? But that's increasingly how our culture thinks, isn't it? It denies that we're getting older and tells older people that they're young when they're not. I was recently walking around the centre of the city and I saw an ad for Adelaide University promoting mature age enrolment, which I actually think is a really wonderful thing. But there was a photo there of a very fashionable looking older lady and the caption read, 61 is the new 21. Unleash your second half. And I thought, second half, more like final quarter. But that's what our culture tells us, isn't it? On no account are we to ever think of ourselves as old. Because that would mean we're going to die. And some of us just can't do that, can we? You know, we never talk about death. Or we refuse to talk about funeral plans with our kids. Or our will. Because we think that's being morbid, not just realistic. We can't, in that sense, act our age. But we're all going to die, and the teacher tells us to admit it and to remember it. And you know, for the rest of us, it tells us to remember that too. To remember that when we're loving older people, that aging can be the pits. You know, when you're young, you see a flight of stairs and you just think, oh, that's a flight of stairs. But if you're very old, you see a flight of stairs and you see a potential fall. Or we see a comfy chair and we think, what a comfy chair. But an older person sees a comfy chair and thinks, will I be able to get back up out of that? There's a great comedian, an American, he has now died, a guy called George Burns, who was still performing well into his hundreds. And he used to joke, he said, you really know you're old when you bend down and you ask yourself, is there anything else I can do while I'm down here? Now, if you're younger, be gentle with older people, because they will be going through things that you frankly just have no idea about. So what's the cure to this? What's the best way to act our age, whether you're young or old? Well, according to the teacher, it's to remember the Lord. What's his advice to the young? What's up on the screen? You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. What does he say? Absolutely follow your heart, but also know that you will have to answer to God for everything you do, so remember your Creator. And what's his advice to older people? Well, it's exactly the same. 12 verse 6, remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken. Before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Remember God before you meet him. It's good to enjoy life while you're young and admit that it gets harder when you're old. But over all of that, we're to remember that there is a God who rules over all of our life and will one day hold our lives to account. So what are we to do according to the teacher? Well, it's right there in the last verses of his book. Now, all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Now, that's as far as the teacher can take us. He knows that life is good, and it's the gift of God. But he also knows that life is short and that one day we will meet God and be judged by him. But what will happen to us after then? Well, the teacher doesn't know. All he can see is what's before him under the sun. But this is where we, this side of Jesus, can know more than the teacher and have greater hope. You see, in Jesus, we've actually met the God who is going to judge us. Because he's come down to us from beyond the sun. Now, Jesus is still just as serious about how we live as the God of Ecclesiastes is. He's the same God. He's still just as keen to hold us to account for what we do, young or old. But the great news is that for all the times we've lived badly, he's paid the price for those sins when he died on the cross. And the great news is that for those who've asked forgiveness on the basis of that death, he also offers us a life that will go forever, that will never end. In that second reading we had from 1 Corinthians, Paul explains that Jesus rose to life after he died for sins. And he explains that everyone who trusts in him, fears the Lord, if you like, will also be one day raised to life. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. You see, it turns out that Jesus' resurrection wasn't a once-off, but rather just the first cab off the rank when it comes to people being raised to life. He was raised to life, but on the last day, when he comes back, everyone who's asked him to be forgiven will also be raised to life. And when that happens, the great enemy of Ecclesiastes, death, will have finally been defeated. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Guys, if you are young, you are only young once. So make the most of it. But make the most of it by living for God, not without Him. Follow the desires of your heart, but make the greatest desire of your heart to know God and how much He loves you and the wonderful things He has for you as you serve and enjoy Him. You see, being young doesn't mean being selfish. It means knowing that you'll live forever, and so you can be selfless, pouring out your life for others and God, because you know that that's what will be ultimately worthwhile. And you know what? That will be fun too. Serving God is the best way to spend your youth. Some of my happiest memories are from times when I was serving on kids' camps or I was doing stuff with youth group. They are some of the times that I have laughed the hardest and felt the most fulfilled. Because the thing that will make you happiest in life is when you know your life has a point that even death can't spoil. And only Jesus can offer that. So to the young people sitting here right now, let me ask you, how are you going to spend your youth? Are you going to fill it up with love for Jesus and His love for you? Or are you just going to fritter it away until your life is over? Now, if you're young, don't waste your life. Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And what does He say to the old? Well, His advice is exactly the same. J.I. Packer was a Canadian pastor and theologian who spent his whole life loving and serving Jesus. He wrote his very last book at the age of 90. I don't also know if he ran marathons. I don't think he did, but he certainly wrote a lot of books. And his very last book, written at the age of 90, was called Finishing Our Course with Joy, Guidance from God for Engaging with Our Aging. It's the book we gave away. Now, you would think that at the age of 90, after a lifetime of service, his book would be full of advice about how to relax and take it easy in the time you have left, having now done your bit. But it's not. This is his thesis. My contention is that so far as our bodily health allows, we should aim to be found running the last lap of the race of our Christian life, as we would say, flat out. The challenge that faces us is to cultivate the maximum zeal for the closing phase of our earthly lives. What does God say to older people? Keep loving and serving God until the day you die, or remember your Creator. See, there is no retirement from serving Jesus. You see, our culture tells us that the last 20 years of our life are for self-indulgence. But they're not. They're for exactly the same thing as the rest of our life is for, glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. Now, doubtless, how you serve will look different as you age. You know, you'll slow down in serving as you slow down in everything. But you'll still want to serve in whatever ways you can, because you'll know that God has served you in Jesus by dying on the cross for your sins. And you'll know that because of that, you have an eternity to look forward to, and so can still afford to strive and strain now, because you have a forever rest that you can look forward to. And of course, you can still have some of that rest now too, as you hop in the caravan for a month and enjoy the beautiful world that God has made. Nothing wrong with that. But you will be determined not to spend all of your remaining 20 years in that caravan. Because you know that God has made you for so much more. He's shown that to you in Jesus, who has come from beyond the sun to show you how to live under the sun. And that sounds like a great life to me, whether you're young or old. So let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that the Bible is just so realistic. Where we so often want to dodge death, whether we're young or old, you just look it squarely in the eyes. And you tell us how to live, whether we're young or old, to enjoy our lives or to admit when they get hard, but never to forget you, but always to remember you and that our lives are in your hands. And yet, Father, we thank you that we know something that Ecclesiastes didn't. We've met you in person in Jesus. We know the God who will judge us. And we know that he has died for our sins and has been raised to life so we can be raised to life forever as well. That we've got news from beyond the sun. Father, we pray that because of that, we would want to use every day we have left, whether that is many or few, to glorify you and enjoy you forever. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.